book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Last week we talked about being exhorted to prayer. Tonight I want us to look at one verse of Scripture. Verse number 8. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I want to preach tonight on men pray everywhere. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for your word. Thank you for your love. Lord, how you've shed it abroad in our lives. Saved our soul, loved us so much, even though we're so unlovable at times. Thank you for grace and mercy. And we do thank you for the privilege of prayer. And I pray that tonight your word would drive something deep into our hearts and souls. And I pray that we would understand the privilege we have to be able to call upon thee. Change the scene through prayer. Lord Jesus, help me. I need your strength tonight. I need your help and I need your guidance. May your wisdom be seen. May I be hidden behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you would do the work that needs to be done and we would be obedient in our response. For the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we continue with Paul's instruction to Timothy on knowing how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, I think we have to remind ourselves of some things. First of all, I think we need to remind ourselves of the importance of realizing that we are the church of the living God. Amen. And that we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. It is vital that this world have the church. But if the world's going to have the church, it is vital that the church be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if we're going to be that, if we're going to be the pillar and ground of the truth, then we must be in obedience to the instructions from the Word of God. Last week as we looked at being exhorted to prayer, we were reminded of people we were to pray for and the privilege of prayer. But as we continue the rest of this chapter, we're going to see the role of and the responsibility of men and the role and the responsibility of women of the church. And I believe one of the greatest needs in America and around the world is for men to be praying men, for Christian men to be men of prayer. Godly men are men of prayer. If you're not a man of prayer, then you're not a godly man. Godly men, men of prayer, follow God. They believe God. And they step out by faith and attempt great things for God. And the Bible says, I will that, therefore, that men pray everywhere. That therefore, of course, takes us back to these things that we're supposed to be praying for and praying about and understanding. And it says, I will that men therefore pray everywhere. Now, this is not talking about praying only before a meal or only before going to bed or only when waking up or a few minutes before a service. All those are good and all those could be a part of our lives. But I'm going to say something to you and I hope you don't take offense. But if the only time you pray for this service is when you meet in a prayer room, then you may as well not pray. That is where we come together and we're agreeing in prayer on what we've already been praying for. We prayed about things and we prayed that God will meet with us and that God will speak to us tonight in a service and that God will work in our lives. But some men, their only prayers are those prayers of convenience, those prayers before a meal and before bed. I don't know of a night that I go to bed without praying. When I lay my head down after I've prayed, and then I lay my head down, I continue praying every night of my life. When I wake up in the morning, I start out with prayer. But it has to be more than just that. The Bible says everywhere. And I believe the Bible says what it means here. Everywhere we go, while we're on the job, we ought to be in prayer. We're in the marketplace, we ought to be in prayer. When we're dealing with our responsibilities, times of thankfulness, and on we could go. But we are to be praying all the time, everywhere. The Bible says that men ought always to pray. Here it's speaking of men in particular. Men. And if men do not pray, then the local church will not go forward. Rightful praying will result in God's will being done and not our will being done. And I think that's what we need tonight anyway, isn't it? Not our will, but God's will. And as Paul is teaching us that we're to be men of prayer, he gives us the conditions of our prayers if they're going to be answered and if they're going to be used in helping the church, that as it represents God to the world, the church of the living God, and as we are the pillar and the ground of the truth, there are some things here that we see that Paul writes to Timothy. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. And then notice what he says. Number one, lifting up holy hands. It was a custom back in those days to lift their hands toward heaven with their palms open and empty. And some believe that it was a symbol of being empty of self and needy and trusting God to fill those needs. Now, I think if that's what it meant, then that's a great thing, isn't it? To be empty of self and knowing that whatever need we have in our life, that there's a God in heaven that can hear and answer those prayers. The emphasis is placed here on holy hands. It's representative of a holy character. Men, if we're going to be praying men, we have to have a holy character. This can't be, you can't be lifting up holy hands if you don't know Christ as Savior. There's no doubt about that. You can be a man of the church, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a man of Christ. Now, it certainly should. But in our day and in our society, we find out that just because a man goes to church doesn't mean that he's saved, right? To be a member of this church, you have to give a good profession of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To be a member of this church, you have to give that testimony and that witness. But it's not so in a lot of churches and in a lot of places. You say, I want to join that. They say, come on, glad to have you. We're glad to have anybody that walks through the doors of this church. Anybody's welcome to come and sit on this pew. But one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that we're to have a saved church membership. Local church means that people are saved and they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, salvation is not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. That's the starting point in our lives, guys, as being the kind of man that can get in touch with God. And the Bible is teaching us that we are to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we are to be men of prayer. And the church needs men that will pray. They need men that has trusted that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and He rose again the third day. And because of that, they put their faith in what Christ did. And now they know that through the blood of Christ, they can enter into the Holy of Holies and they can talk to God about anything and for any need that arises. Holy hands. Purity of life. Character, a holy character. The psalmist said it well in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. Mark it down. Write it down. The psalmist says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The psalmist said in Psalm 18 and verse number 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Paul said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. A holy life, a clean life, clean hands. We enter into the Holy of Holies and we take the time to wash our hands. We come clean before God. Psalmist said in Psalm 66, verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Dirty hands, dirty heart, no prayer answered. But when we're lifting up holy hands, with living a holy character, God hears and answers prayer. As believers entering into His holy presence, we must first be cleansed that we may lift up holy hands. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that God can cleanse me and clean me up and allow me to enter into His presence with holy hands, lifting up, being empty of self, needy, and knowing that God can hear and answer prayer. The Bible goes on and says not only are we to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, it says without wrath. Do you notice that there in verse number 8? I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. As we think of wrath, we automatically think of anger or hatred. But this is speaking about just our disposition with others. Not necessarily that we have hate towards one another, but just how we deal with one another. Understanding this, you know, it's ridiculous to call on someone to pray, but their attitude towards someone else would cause a hindrance instead of being a blessing. You know, for example, a pastor ought to be able to call on any man in the church to pray without having to worry if he's right with others. Now, it doesn't mean that every man in the church will be called on to pray, because some men just, they don't feel comfortable doing that. When I know that, I don't call on that man to pray. But it's not because when I don't call on somebody to pray, it doesn't mean that they're wrong with others. It just means they don't have that comfort level. I understand that. I remember the first time I was called on to pray in church. It was a 5-minute prayer and I only said 3 words. I got the first 3 words out and I couldn't say anything else and I just stood there. And finally, the pastor was so kind and loving, and he said, in Jesus' name, amen. I was happy about that. And I was happy that when the service was over, I was close to the door. I laughed. But you understand, when a pastor calls on somebody to pray, or when you're called on to pray in any setting, there ought to be that confidence that this is a man that's without wrath. It's right with his brothers and sisters and in right standing with God. Remember, the church will only go as far as the people's obedience will allow. Without wrath means we have no envy or no malice towards others. We forgive others who have wronged us or who we think have wronged us. We forgive. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. It's a great verse, isn't it? Without wrath, being right with our fellow men. There's one thing I found out. In a church, there's all kinds of personalities. There's all kinds of opinions. Everybody has one. And they don't always agree with each other. But if you hold that to a point to where you have something against somebody else, you need to get it right. You need to have that disposition with others. You know, I would hate to think that I was somebody that people thought, boy, I just don't even like talking to that man. He always disagrees, or he's always wanting to fight about something. He's always wanting to bring up something controversial, always blah, blah. You know, always this, always that. See, I find out who I can talk to about certain things and who I can't talk to about certain things. And there's some people I talk to this, you know, just to have conversation. You understand? Why? Because I want to keep things right and peaceful. Now, when it comes to if it was a doctrinal difference and we had to deal with that, that's a whole different issue. But when it comes to opinions, we all have one, you know? And mine's always right. And not everybody always agrees with my opinion, so I just figure why I'd talk to them. No, I'm just kidding. As we think of how we ought to behave, think of how much more enjoyable the services and fellowship of the church are when we're right with one another. When there's not those little things going on. I don't know if y'all have had to deal with a lot of that around here. Days gone by. I know it's happened some because it happens in every church. But when this person has a little struggle with this person and you come into the church, as soon as you walk through the door, it's like, ugh, tension. You know? I'm going to just be honest with you about this. I don't enjoy services when stuff like that's going on. When I know this person has a problem with this person, I'm nervous. I'm a nervous wreck. I hate it. Don't want anything to do with it. And if I know that there's a certain man that has a problem with somebody else, I'm not going to call him and pray. First of all, I don't think that they should be praying, because that's what the Bible says, lifting up holy hands without wrath. But secondly, the person that they're in trouble with, they're going to get mad. You understand? So if y'all have problems with one another, I just don't want to know about it. And that way I can call on somebody and, you know, I can plead ignorance. But boy, when you're not going through those things, how great is the fellowship? How wonderful it is. We all have our opinions. We all have our thoughts. But give people a right to have their thoughts. But just because they don't agree doesn't mean that you have to be angry about it and have to get in that battle over it. Somebody said if we were all the same, it sure would be a dull and boring world, wouldn't it? I remember growing up, some people said, well, you know, they're different, but that's what makes the world go around. Well, I disagree with that. I think it's the Lord that makes the world go around, but it sure does make it a little bit more interesting to gain insight from different views. Just because I don't agree with somebody doesn't mean that I'm mad at them or I dislike them. As a matter of fact, I found out people disagree with me and I want them to like me too, you know. I don't compromise certain things. But I found out, you know, somebody told me the older you get, my dad told me this. You know, when you're a young preacher, I think I'm still young, but I was younger at one time. I don't feel young anymore. Yesterday, we had somebody was doing some work in the church, and a fella from the neighborhood come over, and he's been to church here a few times, and I'm not preaching now, I'm just telling a story. Brother Mickey was talking to him, and said, yeah, there's the preacher, and then Jody was down there, and he said, was that his daughter? Talk about him, my daughter. Well, Mickey, that's Miss Jody. But then he had to follow up with this. But he looks old enough to be your dad, don't he? I'm not angry about that. It doesn't bother me that he would say something like that. I'm not upset a bit. Just because I called you and asked you about it about 3 or 4 hours later doesn't mean that I was upset. Or that, you know, it just left my mind. I mean, I've totally forgotten about it. It's just like it never happened, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, man, it's ridiculous. But you would be absolutely surprised, and I know that was being silly, but you'd be absolutely amazed at how many people would have gotten upset over something as silly as that. Hey, I know a lady that was in her 60s in a church, and she wouldn't come to the Senior Saints activities because she didn't want to admit that she was a senior citizen. You know? I thought, free food, man. I'm not a senior citizen, but I'm not missing it. You know? But she would get upset with you if you said, why didn't you come? I mean, she really got upset about things like that. So you know what I did? I never asked her where she was at. Somebody else, man, I never would ask her, you know. And it scared me. It's terrible. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we let the silliest things get in our way of our prayer life. Silly things. There are things worth fighting for. And I was telling you a story about my dad. I'm getting back to that. There are things worth fighting for. But there are some things that you have to learn to pick your fights. My dad told me when I was a young preacher, younger preacher, because I'm still a young preacher, younger preacher. I mean, I was tough. I'd get up and I'd clear off a spot every few weeks, and I mean, I just let her rip. And I loved it. Until I got home and I started thinking, boy, I hope I didn't make somebody mad. Because whether you know it or not, I really do care about what people think about me. I think, you know, the older I've gotten, I found out there's ways that you can say things that are a little bit less offensive. But I remember my dad saying, son, one of these days you're going to get older, you'll start to mellow. And my reply to him was, you know what they say about fruit when it mellows? The next thing is it rots, and I don't want to rot. So I'm not going to mellow. But I found out there are certain things where you learn to pick your fights. Now, you can call it mellowing if you want to. I just try to call it wisdom and say there are certain things worth fighting for and there are certain things where you learn to back down on. But I know some people that they're just filled with wrath and they're always wanting to have that disposition of being a blessed God, I'm right and you're wrong, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Men, talking to men, don't be that kind of man. Or you won't have the kind of prayer life that this church needs you to have. And that your family needs you to have. And that you need to have. And that God wants you to have. Without wrath. You understand? I know it's a lot of silliness. I don't mean to do that, but it happens. To lead the church by prayer, it has to be without wrath. And then finally, without doubting. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, without doubting. I believe we need some men that believe God. That just believe God can and that God will. We look at this word doubting, we look at it, we understand it means not to be wavering in our opinion of God and His ability and what He can do and what He can accomplish. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Hebrews 11 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without doubting means that we're not to be wavering in our opinion of who God is and what God can do. It means not to be disputing. Disputing with others. Trusting God with the outcome. When we pray and we submit our will to God and our desire, it's not only will, not my will, but thine be done. Then we're going to pray without doubting. Because we're going to realize that God's will's best. And it's right. We're not doubting whatever happens because we're praying and we're trusting God. We know that whatever happens, He's in control and He's guiding our lives and He's telling us and showing us and helping us with what lies ahead. The Bible says, the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God wants us to pray. Amen. He wants us to be men of prayer, lifting up holy hands, having that holy character, without wrath, being right with God and with man, without doubting, being able to trust God, knowing that He does hear and He does answer prayer. And we ask without wavering in our faith. We ask believing. We ask according to His will. When we're praying right, when we're praying the way that we ought to pray, we're praying in the will of God. And we pray His will. And we know that His will is going to be done. So as we pray and things don't happen the way that we imagine they happen, we don't let that make us doubt, because we're trusting the will of God. Without wrath, without doubting, lifting up holy hands. Men pray everywhere. Now, when we say all these things, this doesn't exclude the ladies and the fact that we need ladies to be ladies of prayer. But God is talking to men here. We talk to ladies next week. Hopefully you've talked to Him and He's talked to you today, but we're going to talk about you next week. Right? Good. You'll be here. The Lord just may return between now and then, but if He does, then we won't have to worry about it. You'll be right with Him forever. But thank God for ladies that are prayer warriors. I'm happy about some of the greatest people of prayer that I know are ladies. And so there's no de-emphasis on it here. But this is talking. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's saying this is how you ought to behave yourself in the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And he says, instruct the men in these areas. Men need to be on their knees. They need to be seeking God. They need to be trusting Him. They need to be following Him and leading Him to others. It's a call to prayer. It's a call for Christian men because of the great need. Men needs to hear and answer the call. Ladies, we pray too. Pray for men. As you pray, pray for your husbands. Pray for the men of the church, leaders. Church, this is how the pillar and the ground of the truth stays the pillar and the ground of the truth. Obedience. You understand what prayer can do? Prayer can change a nation. Prayer can change a community. Prayer can change a family. Prayer can change an individual. Prayer can do what God can do. And that's what we need, is what God can do. Men pray everywhere. Be a man of prayer. May the Lord help me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word, and I pray that You've helped us tonight to get a grasp of this necessity of prayer in our lives as men as well as ladies. God, I pray for strong, godly men to be guided by You through the Spirit of God and through the Scriptures. Lord, would You help us to be men of prayer? Not just at those convenient times or those times when it's supposedly imagined we're just supposed to do it. But Lord, as we go our way, may we be in communication with Thee. speaking with thee and loving thee, constantly being guided by thee. Oh Lord, we give this time to respond to you. May we be obedient. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's quietly stand to our feet.